Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So before we chant the verse on the board, we'll just first read the translations of the first seven verses. Sri Sukadev Goswami said, Prishni, who was the wife of Savita, the fifth of the 12 sons of Aditi, gave birth to three daughters, Savitri, Vyariti, and Trayi, and the sons named Agnihotra, Pasu, Soma, Chaturmasya, and the five Mahayagyas. O King, Siddhi, who was the wife of Bhaga, the sixth son of Aditi, bore three sons named Mahima, Vibhu, and Prabhu, and one extremely beautiful daughter whose name was Ashi. Datta, the seventh son of Aditi, had four wives named Kuhu, Shinivali, Raka, and Anumati. These wives begot four sons named Sayam, Darsha, Prataha, and Purnamasa, respectively. The wife of Vidatta, the eighth son of Aditi, who was named Kriya. In her, Vidatta begot the five fire gods named the Purishyas. The wife of Varuna, the ninth son of Aditi was named Charshani. Bhrigu, the son of Brahma, took birth again in her womb. By the semen of Varuna, the great mystic Valmiki took birth from an anthill. Bhrigu and Valmiki were specific sons of Varuna, whereas Agastya and Vasistha Rishis were the common sons of Varuna and Mitra, the tenth son of Aditi. Upon seeing Urvasi, the celestial society girl, both Mitra and Varuna discharged semen, which they preserved in an earthen pot. The two sons, Agastya and Vasistha, later appeared from that pot, and they are therefore the common sons of Mitra and Varuna. Mitra begot three sons in the womb of his wife, whose name was Revati. Their names were Utsarga, Arista, and Pippala. Purport. Modern science is trying to generate living entities in test tubes by processing semen. But even long, long ago, it was possible for semen kept in a pot to develop into a child. O King Pariksit, Indra, the king of the heavenly planets, and the 11th son of Aditi, begot three sons named Jayanta, Rishabh, and Medusa in the womb of his wife, Palomi. Thus we have heard. And then we read text number 8, which is on the board. Uru Kramasya Devasya Maya Vamana Rupina Kirto Patnyam Brihat Slokas Tasya Sansobhagadaya Uru Kramasya Devasya Maya Vamana Rupina Kirto Patnyam Brihat Slokas Tasya Sansobhagadaya Uru Kramasya Devasya Maya Vamana Rupinaha Kirto Patnyam Brihat Slokas Tasya Sansobhagadaya Urukramasya of Urukram Devasya the Lord Maya by his internal potency Vamana Rupinaha having the form of a dwarf Kirto in Kirti, Patnyam, his wife. Brihatsloka, Brihatsloka. Tasya, of him. Asam, were. Subhaga adiyaha, sons beginning with Subhaga. Translation: by his own potency, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has multifarious potencies, appeared in the form of a dwarf as Urukrama, the 12th son of Aditi. In the womb of his wife, whose name was Kirti, he begot one son named Brihatsloka, who had many sons, headed by Subhaga. Purport: as the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 4:6, Ajo pisan avyayatma bhutanam miswaru pisan prakritim swamadistaya sambhavamiyatmamayaya. Although I am unborn and my transcendental body never deteriorates, and although I am the Lord of all sentient beings, I still appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead incarnates, he does not need any help from the external energy, for he appears as he is by his own potency. The spiritual potency is called Maya. It is said, Ato Maya Mayam Vishnum Pravadanti Manisinaha. The body accepted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is called Maya Maya. This doesn't mean that he's formed of the external energy. This Maya reverses to his internal potency. Om Gyanatimarandasya Gyananana Salakaya Shankshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kanamayam Dadati Swapanantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurum Vaisnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sivisakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneswari Visabhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Drubhyacha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So the verse translation begins, by his own potency, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has multivarious potencies, appeared in the form of the dwarf as Urukrama, the 12th son of Aditi. So by his own potency, the Lord is never subjected to the laws of nature. Like the living beings who are karmana daivane trena yantu deupapachate, it is by karma and by divine arrangement that the living being is placed in a yantur, in a particular material situation, a particular material body. But Krishna appears by his own potency, by his own choice, in a form which serves a particular purpose. In the beginning in Srimad Bhagavatam, the sages of Naimisaranya are asking six questions. And amongst these questions is, what is the purpose for the appearance of the various incarnations of the Lord? And then later, Later, the answer is given that the purpose of appearing in these various incarnations is to reclaim those who are in the mode of pure goodness. So in this way, we can understand that when the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears, He does so out of His causeless mercy. He does so because of His unlimited love. Srila Prabhupada pointed out that Krishna, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is more eager to deliver the conditioned souls than they are to go back to Godhead themselves. Therefore, Krishna makes endless arrangements, many, many arrangements. He appears in the form of various incarnations. He reveals His instructions through Lord Brahma, and the Vedic literatures emanate from the mouth of Lord Brahma. In this way, the Lord makes endless arrangements to deliver the living beings, either by appearing in person or through His tadiya, through paraphernalia that are related to Him. And in that way, the entire world is filled with the mercy of the Lord. Just like India is especially blessed. It is Punya Bhumi. It is here that the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears. And it is also here that there are many other manifestations of the mercy of the Lord. Just like the river Ganges, the river Yamuna. These are not coming from this universe, as we know. We know Ganga, Lord Vamanadev, after he expanded himself and to fulfill the what was granted by Bali Maharaj, that he could have 3 steps of land, and in 2 steps he covered the entire universe, and then with his toe cracked the shell of the universe, and all the universes are clustered together and are floating on the causal ocean, and thus a drop of that causal ocean came when Vamanadev's toe cracked the shell of the universe, and a drop entered into the universe, and that became Ganga. And we find in the Bhagavatam a description of the descent of the Ganga. And we see that when Ganga was falling down in the form of that drop, and when Ganga came into the celestial regions, that the demigods were catching the Ganga in kumbhas, in pots, and they were carrying these pots. They were carrying these pots down. Why was it so? Because the demigods, of course the Ganga was already going down. So what was the need? The need for catching Ganga and for carrying. The reason is that they wanted to share in distributing this mercy of the Lord. The mercy of the Lord is coming in so many forms, but the devotees, the devatas, the demigods, the suras, they know that by becoming an instrument in carrying the mercy of the Lord, one gets more benefit from that mercy of the Lord. That is how one gets the most benefit from the mercy of the Lord. Of course, as it is stated, as I mentioned, those who are in pure goodness will be reclaimed by the various avatars. So that is a very exalted platform, to be in pure goodness. Who is there? Who in this particular assembly could say, "I'm in pure goodness"? It's not so easy. The afflictions of the lower modes of nature are very, very strong. We got entangled, not just this lifetime, but for so many lifetimes. Therefore, aparabdha karma, or previous karma, is with us. Aparabdha phalam papam kutam bijan phalam mukam kramaneva pariyeta vishnu bhaktira tatmanam. In the Vishnu Purana it is stated that this aparabdha karma is, or this unmanifested karmic reaction is stored within the heart. And that stock, the kutam in the heart, produces desire, bija, for more sinful activity, or for more fruitive activity, for which entangles us even further. So in this way, our entanglement with the modes of material nature lead to desires that are compromised by the modes of material nature, and thus will become more entangled by the modes of material nature, and again, more and more will get desires which are dictated by the three modes of material nature. Prakrite kriyamanane gunakarmani sarvasa ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. And gradually this network of the three modes of material nature and our pursuing of material desire begins to cover our pure consciousness with ahankar. Ahankar. Ahankar can be translated as false ego, or it can be also translated as hankering for material enjoyment. Therefore, it is very difficult to come to pure goodness. Therefore, we are looking at Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, this is known as Kali Yuga. But this Kali Yuga is not just any Kali Yuga. This is the Kali Yuga which is appearing once in a day of Brahma after the Dwapara Yuga, where Krishna appeared in person. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears. Again, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but this time in a most compassionate form. This time giving the mercy, the topmost mercy, given what was never given before, not by any other incarnation. All the incarnations are establishing the principles of religion and annihilating the demons. That is their mission. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya Mano Bistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupam Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam. He gives what was not given before, that topmost love of God, of the residence of Vrindavan, which is not compromised by anything external, not compromised by any external position, which is simply aimed at satisfying Krishna and not considering one's own position. The gopis were ready to become social outcasts. When Krishna played his flute, they were ready to go. They were ready to go. In the same way, when Krishna was hungry, and along with the cowherd boys, then Krishna mentioned to the cowherd boys, nearby there are some brahmanas, they are performing a yajna. So according to the position where the yajna is now, they can offer some of the prasadam of the yajna. So you ask them. The cowherd boys asked, but the brahmanas never responded. They never responded. But Krishna and Balaram are very hungry. It's like, you know, my dear boys, we are performing a yajna here. Please, you know, please do not disturb at this sacred time. In this way, they were not at all open. But the wives of these brahmanas, they immediately took many, many nice preparations and brought to Krishna and Balaram. And why was it so? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is mentioning that the wives of these brahmanas, they were willing to give to Krishna immediately because of their association with devotees. They used to buy milk from the gopis sometimes. And by that association of great devotees, of pure devotees, they also developed that pure devotional attitude. Therefore, the mercy of the Lord comes to the pure devotees. And we need the association of the pure devotees. We need to serve the pure devotees. We need to hear from pure devotees. And we need to surrender to pure devotees. And we need to be engaged under the direction of the pure devotees. Only the pure devotees can pull us out of the material world. That is the only way. Sometimes I'm looking at old Back to Godhead magazines, the very early ones. There's the early Back to Godhead magazines from I forgot exactly if it were, whatever, from the earliest editions that are there. And those ones were interesting because they were all about Prabhupada. The whole Back to Godhead magazine was about Prabhupada. And there was one article, and the article was as follows, that it was describing how the devotees were waiting for Prabhupada to come down for a lecture. And they had a kirtan, and a long kirtan. And even when the kirtan ended, Prabhupada still didn't come down. But anyway, nobody cared too much. At that time, the only sannyasi was Kirtanananda. So somehow or other, they asked Kirtanananda to speak. And Kirtanananda, he said, where were we? Where were all of us 1 year ago? Where were we even 6 months ago? Before we got the mercy of a pure devotee. So it's that mercy of the pure devotee that is reaching the devotee. The Supreme Lord, He appears in this world and He disseminates His mercy in this world in person and then continues to carry that mercy throughout the entire universe through His devotee. And it is as good as receiving it directly from the Supreme Lord. Of course, Brahmananda, one of my favorite Brahmananda stories, is that here in Vrindavan, Brahmananda Prabhu is giving a class on Prabhupada, and one devotee with a heavy South American accent in sort of not such good English asked, when in the very beginning the devotees were very close to Prabhupada, but later the movement started to develop and maybe it wasn't so easy to get access to Srila Prabhupada anymore. Do you feel that anything changed in your relationship with Srila Prabhupada? And Brahmananda said, he said, look, when you're a child, Your father is your father, and when you're grown up, your father is still your father. Nothing changed. What has changed? Then that devotee said, oh, I can see that for you, Prabhupada is God. Now, that's a strange statement. And maybe he meant to say as good as God, you know, because his English was not his first language. But whatever, he said, for you, I can see that for you, Prabhupada is God. So Brahmananda said, oh no, oh no. I made that mistake one time. He said, no, no, no. Prabhupada is not God. He is as good as God. He said, but these days I think that he is better than God. Because he came to the lower east side to save me. Now you can applaud Brahmananda. That was for Brahmananda, not for me. Yes, in that way, Brahmananda understood something. That ultimately, it is the devotee, the pure devotee, that becomes partial. The Supreme Lord, he is impartial. He is equal to all. He bestows mercy to all and everyone in just flooding the universe in various ways. But the devotee takes personal interest in some conditioned soul and prays to the Lord, oh Lord, please give mercy to this one. Lots of. Shower him like clouds and flood him with mercy. Oh Lord, please. In this way, the Lord is happy to respond to his devotee. It is in that way. Srila Prabhupada could do so many things that are not so easily done. He could adjust. He could make adjustments from... In the Chaitanya Bhagavat it is said that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu one day spoke and said, I will only accept the offerings from anyone who is at least a lakhpati. A lakhpati means 100,000, who has 100,000. Nowadays a lakhpati is not so rich, but in 500 years ago lakhpati was very rich. So it appeared that he was only going to accept offerings from rich people. But then he explained, no, only from one who chants 64 rounds, a lack of names. Oh. And Prabhupada brought it down. First 32, 25, 16, no less. And that is very significant. He brought it down to 16 rounds, yes. But what did he bring down is the number of rounds, but not the result. The same result. He brought down the threshold, but the same result, Krishna Prem, full perfection, can be attained simply by that chanting of 16 rounds minimum, by following these four regulative principles. Prabhupada could adjust. How could he adjust? Because it is said, mukti dadati bhakti na karichit, that mukti, I will give you. You want mukti? Yes, take. I'll give you. Take it. Take, yes, take it. No, you don't want. Then what you want? Bhakti, I don't have any. What do you, Krishna? What do you have behind your back? Behind my back? What? Nothing. No, what you're having? Oh, that? Oh, some bhakti. Is that what you want? Mukti dadati bhakti na karichit. Yes. Krishna hides devotional service. And why is it so? Because Krishna becomes purchased by devotional service. And of course, there are examples of many devotees or different devotees that purchase the Lord. Like Vasudev Dutta in the Chaitanya Charitamrita is mentioned as one who had purchased the Lord. And Lord Chaitanya said, Vasudev, he has purchased me. He can sell me in the marketplace. In other words, anything. I will do anything. Whatever he wants, I must do. And in the same way, Srila Prabhupada purchased Krishna by his extraordinary service. And it is in this way that the pure devotees, can approach Krishna and pray to Krishna. Sometimes we speak in an initiation lecture. And in an initiation, what are we receiving? Harinam, the Mahamantra. So, it is like one of those birthdays, you get a big gift, you open up the box and inside's a gift. Oh, I already got it. I already got that. I got the holy name before. But yes, we got the holy name before. We've been chanting so for a long time, even before initiation. But at the time of initiation, what we are receiving, we're receiving the holy name along with the prayer of the spiritual master, who has his credit with Krishna by his service, by his sacrifice and devotional service. Of course, we are, whoever is now initiating in parampara from Srila Prabhupada, continues to initiate at 16 rounds minimum. And that we can only do because of Prabhupada's prayer. Because Prabhupada's prayer is still standing there next to us. That mercy is still there. Right? So we should understand like that. That what is given here is something special. Sometimes we find that in the marketplace of the holy name, some are still buying the mantra for still cheaper, only 4 rounds. They take some initiation somewhere for 4 rounds. That may be, but on what strength? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that one should chant 1 lakh of names. Anyone who doesn't chant a lakh of names is fallen, so he said. He said, but at least 4, a minimum 4, at least 4. So what does this mean, the 4 rounds? He authorized it, 4 rounds. But it wasn't that on the 4 rounds then one will go back to Godhead. On the 4 rounds one is on the slow boat to China, you know. Or as they say, like, yes, one is connected with the Sampradaya. One has begun. And after many lifetimes, eventually, one will come there. But here we are, sitting at the feet of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and we are chanting 16 rounds, minimum. Not that it's forbidden to chant 64, but at least 16. Because that number is blessed. Not less, not 12, right? Some people say, oh, I can't manage, I can manage only 12. Just forget it. Just forget it. It's you're on the slow boat to China. That is not good. It may take too long. Somehow or other, adjust. Somehow or other, increase. Somehow or other, cut other things. Make time. Somehow or other, cut sleep. Somehow or other, go to bed earlier, get up earlier. Somehow or other, chant 16 rounds. It makes all the difference in this way. We are now in this particular yuga. The yuga of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where the yuga dharma is the chanting of the holy name, Kalu Tathari Kirtanat. We are now in this yuga, predominated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and everything is touched by his special mercy, undoubtedly. Everything is touched by his special mercy. But still, greater than the mercy of Lord Chaitanya is the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Jagai and Madai, Tara Sakshi, Jagai Madai, Jagai and Madai, Jagai, yes, Jagai was somehow or other protecting Lord Nityananda. He told his brother not to hit the second time. For that he got the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. But Madai did not. He did not. Lord Chaitanya would not give. But Nityananda forgave Madai and embraced him. And Madai also got love of God. Still, Madai was not peaceful. Madai was still feeling great guilt. Madai was still feeling very bad. So Lord Nityananda said, "My dear Madai, from my perspective, you are like a child. And sometimes a child will hit the father." He said, "That's not taken very serious. So it's not such a big deal." And then Madai said, "Yes, but I have offended so many of your devotees." And then Lord Nityananda said, "Serve the Vaishnavas." So all these instructions, they stand. When Lord Chaitanya embraced Jagai, he said, "Sin no more." And that instruction stood for Jagai and stands for us. Sin no more. And then when Madai was forgiven and he still felt bad, then he was told to serve the Vaishnavas and make a bathing ghat and wash the feet of the pilgrims so that they could, that in that way he could become free from all the offenses to the devotees. So we must also serve the Vaishnavas to become free from all the offenses of devotees. Offenses to devotees, Vaishnava aparat is a major problem in spiritual life. Many of us may think that material desires are my biggest problem. If only I had no material desires, I could serve Krishna without any difficulty. But the truth of the matter is not material desires. That is the real problem. The real problem is Vaishnava aparat, offense to the Vaishnavas, because it is from that we become covered, and it is from that the material desires come. Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu explains that that bhakti can be subdivided in three categories: sadhana bhakti, devotional service in practice; bhava bhakti, devotional service in ecstasy; and prema bhakti, devotional service in pure love. He explains that why is a distinction made between bhava bhakti and prema bhakti? He said, because they are of the same nature. He said, bhava bhakti is prema suryamsu. It is like a ray of sunshine of prema. And prema is that same sunshine, but at 12 noon. The ray is in the early morning, first ray of sunlight at 12 noon, the bright sun of prema. He said, but it is the same in nature. Why a different category? It said, because even in bhav, one still experiences some suffering. One still experiences hindrances in material life. Only in prema is everything experienced as perfect. So he explains. He said, and why is it that there is still some klesh, still some suffering? Because, he says, there are remnants of Vaishnav aparat. So we can see that even at that very exalted state, some remnants are there. So we can understand that many remnants are currently there in our consciousness also. And these are the things that make us critical, These are the things that make us proud. These are the things that that give us material desire, because we understand it begins when we turn away from Krishna. That's when material life begins. Material life doesn't begin with material desire. Ichchadvesa samuttena dvandvamihena bharata sarva bhutani samaham sargayanti parantapa. We are, all the living beings are covered by delusion of ichcha and dvesa, of desire and hate. But it begins with dvesa. It begins with turning away. And thus it also begins with offenses, not only to the Lord, but to His devotees as well. And then we become covered. And then all the material desires become thicker and thicker, and our entanglement gets stronger day by day. Therefore, by serving the Vaishnavas, we see, we overcome our material desires. We overcome the result of our previous sinful activities. Therefore, to Satyaraj Khan, who came to visit from Kulinagram to Puri, and in their village, they would make ropes. That was the specialty of that village. So every year they would make silk ropes for the Ratiyatra of Lord Jagannath, and then they would bring that from Bengal. So they came to bring the ropes, and they met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he asked, what is the duty? What is the duty of any man in this world? And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Vaishnav Sevana and Nirantar Krishna Nama Sankirtan. To serve the devotees first. First serve the devotees. And then to incessantly, to always chant. To always chant the holy name congregationally in Sankirtan. So somehow or other, this is our requirement. In purports in that same chapter, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada is saying, yes, and he said, so the devotee then must chant all the time. In the morning, he says, the devotee chants all the time. But the Grihastha may say that he's too busy, that he has to do many things. So Prabhupada said, okay, the Grihastha only has to chant in the morning, at noon, and in the evening. Only. So, it's we get off light. We get off very light. It will never get lighter than it's now. And of course we lament that it's still too heavy, still too much. Still, because of manda sumanda matiyo manda bhagya upadruta, because of our inherent laziness due to being residents of the age of Kali. But then, those who are lazy, what to do? They will have to stay in the material world then. And they can go down to the animal species, and they can go down to plants, and they can suffer for a long, long time, and hope that maybe they'll get another chance eventually somewhere on the way. So, now is the time to take advantage of this mercy. If I just go back for a moment to these demigods who were carrying the Ganga in kumbhas, in pots. So, that is Lord Chaitanya's movement. To carry the mercy of the Lord that is coming in the world. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that Lord Chaitanya is saying, I am only one gardener. I have so many fruits of love of God. How can I alone distribute all these fruits? Therefore, I order every man in the universe to distribute these fruits. But when he says, how can I alone? He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He can do anything. Right? He can distribute all these fruits, no problem. It is he wants to us to distribute these fruits because it is through that that we get the mercy. It is through that that we become purified. Therefore, let us somehow or other become active preachers in the Sankirtan movement. Every single devotee, somehow or other, an active preacher. And we know that Srila Prabhupada was especially pleased by the distribution of his books. Although some other devotees had other services, which were also pleasing to Prabhupada. But somehow or other, let us push forward this movement together. Prabhupada also said, just like the Indian railways had a poster which said that the purpose of the railways is to keep the wheels turning. That meant that everything in the railways was meant for the turning of the wheels. So everything in this movement is meant for Harinam Sankirtan. To strengthen Harinam Sankirtan. All other services are ultimately for that. The fact that we have beautiful temples in Vrindavan is not just that we can roam around and call out Radhe, Radhe. Okay, we can roam around. Prabhupada said Hare Krishna. But that we become rejuvenated, that we become inspired, that we feel some fresh connection with Krishna so that we can go once again and distribute. Srila Prabhupada was very much thinking about preaching Krishna consciousness. When some sannyasis would arrive to Vrindavan, upon arrival, Prabhupada would ask them, when are you leaving? It's like, when are you leaving? Sansara dava nadali loka. The whole world is blazing. It is ablaze. There is this blazing forest fire. What are we going to do about it? It's the rain clouds of Vaishnavas, Gana Ganatvam, that are going to put out that forest fire. This is our business. We have to put it out. If we don't do anything, Maya is not waiting. Maya is preaching full force all the time. Full force. Using all the media to bombard everybody, including us. And what are we doing? Excuse me. Not interested. Oh, sorry. No. Forcefully, we must somehow or other push on this movement. It is such a rare opportunity. And that was Srila Prabhupada. He was pushing his men and women equally, pushing everyone to push on this movement somehow or other. Just before I came for this class, I met Guru Kripa Prabhu, who said, I'm going to listen on the radio, to sort of put some pressure on me. Yeah. Which I appreciate. And yes, it is. When Srila Prabhupada wanted to build this temple, then Guru Kripa Prabhu said, don't worry, Prabhupada, I will get you the money. And in those days, it wasn't so easy because there was no fame to the Hare Krishna movement. There were not lots of people in India who knew about this movement, accepted this movement, and were ready to give. It was hard, hard work to collect that money for this temple. And now we sit here so nicely by the mercy of Guru Kripa, who did that service because he wanted Guru Kripa, because he always was very eager for Guru Kripa. So that is why this temple is here, that we can somehow or other become inspired to serve Srila Prabhupada with great enthusiasm. Thank you very much. Any question? What does it mean to serve Vaishnavas? Pancha Goda's voice is loud enough. We are the property of our spiritual master. That's the first principle. So our whole life exists within the context of the instructions of our spiritual master. So when we serve the Vaishnavas, we'll serve from that platform. So we can serve Vaishnavas in many ways, but within the confines of what is authorized by Srila Prabhupada. So if a Vaishnava would ask me something that would not be within the confines of Srila Prabhupada, and I would bring that to that Vaishnava, that would not be service. So serving the Vaishnavas doesn't mean that we do everything the Vaishnava asks. Yes, we do what the Vaishnava asks, but within the confines of what is blessed by our parampara. That is, because we are the property of that. We cannot go beyond. Otherwise, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he came back from Gaya after having received initiation, came to Navadvipa and started to serve the Vaishnavas, and he helped them in different way in their service. It said, in that way he served the Vaishnavas. We see that Madhais start to wash the feet of the Vaishnavas. Most Vaishnavas don't want that. But because we are in Srila Prabhupada's movement, especially serving the Vaishnavas, means, well, the first purpose of this movement is preaching. That is the very first purpose. So we try to help devotees in preaching. Then, you know, like something that is a buzzword for quite a while now is devotee care. Devotee care. So, devotee care is also needed. You need to care for devotees, otherwise they drop by the wayside and that won't help the preaching either. Or we have people that grow old or that are too young. So we care also. But ultimately, that's not our first purpose. Our first purpose is not that we sit here and all start caring for each other. Are you caring for the devotees? All right, we all care and care and care for each other. Yeah, that's very good. We should care for each other. But then, what are we going to do for Prabhupada after we've cared and so on? What are we going to do to push on this movement? Because that was Prabhupada. That was his mood. He was caring, but pushing. Isn't it? Am I right? Or anyway, I hope that answers the question. Yeah, I'm fiery today. Okay, one last question, and then I go. There's all the way a microphone to the Mataji in the back. You must be from America. A mic will still help, believe me, because it's loud, but I didn't get. Please.
I just wanted to share one thing, that when I took initiation, Srila Prabhupada asked me, how many rounds do you chant? and I said 16 rounds, and his eyes got really big, and he said, "Is that all?"
Yes, thank you. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, grantara Srimad Bhagavatam.